Stop making excuses and go out and do something.
Welcome to Made Us. I'm your host, Zach Weaver. Today I sit down with the host of the Stupidity on Demand podcast, Mr. Glenn Cox. If you like what you've been hearing on Made Us, please subscribe in your favorite podcast app. Also make sure to rate and review the show and share it with a friend. And here's something I've been slacking on, and my wife told me I needed to add it to the show. If you'd like to reach out to us, you can hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/madeuspodcast. You can also reach us on Instagram at madeuspodcast or on Twitter at madeuspodcast. Or you can drop us an email at madeuspodcast@hotmail.com. Yeah, I know. I still have a Hotmail account. If you know anybody that has a great story and should be on the show, go ahead and give us an email. Our guest today, Glenn, is a great example of what volunteering can do for one's life and make it life-changing. And we get a little silly talking about his podcast and his obsession of podcasts. So without further ado, please help me welcome Mr. Glenn Cox. Glenn, welcome.
Thanks, Zach. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to have you, man. We've been talking about doing this, and I'm really happy to have you on tonight. We're going to talk about some fun things, I think.
Yeah, it's cool. A while back, you talked about doing this and seeing your episodes come out recently, and it's kind of cool to be like, you know, you asked me to come on. So I was like, well, that's very flattering.
Well, I'm glad you're here. I really appreciate having you on here. I think it's going to be fun. You're a good guy, and you had me on your podcast to kind of help promote this, so... Yeah, there's no way I wouldn't want to return that. And I honestly, without even saying that, I already kind of had you in mind to have you on the show anyways. So.
Well, that's good. Now that you really needed my show to promote, I mean, you're awesome at that.
Thank you very much.
I see your social media channels and like you're all over the place with it and you do an awesome job.
I'm definitely trying. That's one thing I feel I'm comfortable with is marketing.
Yeah.
So I'll get more comfortable on the podcast side, but marketing I feel okay with. So we'll see what happens.
It'll all come natural after a while. Secondhand.
Yeah.
I'm kind of geeking out here. NBI Studios, like.
Yeah, it's cool.
Taking it in. I did not know what to expect when we came into the studio and seeing it firsthand, like. Everything, like I'm looking at the board and you know everything and taking it in, and this is cool.
Yeah, it is a really cool studio, and I'm happy to be part of the NBI family. So I'm happy that Bob brought me in. And if you guys don't listen to Truth and Justice with Bob Ruff, it's a great podcast, also produced by NBI Studios.
Yeah, and that's why like I'm a fanboy of equipment too. So when I walked in and saw like all these awesome mics and stuff, yeah. I'm like, this is how I spend most of my evenings looking at microphones and you know random
that's
stuff
awesome.
Like that.
That's awesome. Yeah, this is nice stuff out here. Glenn, for people that don't know you, let's get a little background on you.
Well, I actually went to school with Zach years ago. Moved around quite a bit, but, you know, went to school in Chicago. Lived in Kalamazoo for a while.
Where'd you go to school in Chicago?
Le Cordon Bleu, a culinary institute that I've done nothing with. Isn't that great?
That is awesome.
It was great back in the day for first dates. But
yeah, you're like, I can definitely whip something up for you.
But yeah, the main thing I do now is a podcast. It's not my main job, but that's okay. Kind of my main thing that I enjoy. It's yeah. My hobby that's grown into something that's kind of really shaped who I am and what I do. And,
yeah, what's the name of your podcast?
Stupidity on Demand.
That's a great name. That's a great name. And it says it all right there in the title. It exactly. Tells exactly what it is.
Yeah, I went through a name change recently because initially when I started off, I was just so lazy that I'm like, I'll figure it out later. It's like that thing where you just put a placeholder.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'll figure this out eventually.
Yeah.
And then it just stayed.
And what was the name before?
The Glenn Show.
The Glenn Show.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's pretty lazy. I like it.
Very generic. And
you're like, what can it be? Let's see. My name is Glenn. The Glenn Cox Show? No, that's too long. That's too much effort.
Yep.
The Glenn Show. Nice. That's perfect. So how long have you been doing that podcast?
We are going on 5 years now.
5 years. And what's a little sample of your podcast? Anything you can tell us about your podcast?
It's basically a bunch of guys that get together, some co-hosts. And it's morphed over the years, but it's always kind of had the same concept of just talking about your week and what's happened.
Okay, that's cool.
And finding stories from the past that are kind of entertaining that kind of maybe blend into something that someone's talking about organically. Nice. And just kind of going from there. And I try to keep about an hour range or so, just so it's, you know, you can break it up in parts if you want to. And, you know, sometimes it goes a little bit longer, but I think I found the kind of like sweet spot of an hour.
No, I think that's a good, an hour is a good time frame. I think, you know, some of those podcasts go really long. You know, Rogan has awesome podcasts, but sometimes it's hard to listen to 3.5-4 hour podcasts.
Yeah, unless you're getting stoned right with them. I feel like that's the only time it's like you can really take it in.
Yeah, it's hard. And especially, you know, the way, you know, I have a 1/2 hour commute, so I can listen to it in chunks. But by the time I get back to the car listening to it, I'm like, what the hell was he talking about? Now I got to figure this out again. So an hour is just about perfect.
Yeah, and it's great because, I mean, when I think about it, like podcasts have truly shaped the later part of my life.
Okay.
When I think about it, initially, I listened to it as a way to pass time.
Yeah.
So I was at a job, and I'm still at the job, different position, but I was in my office alone all day.
What's the job?
It's a German company that sells adjustable handles, knobs, and crazy stuff like that. Like the stuff you'd see on these microphone stands.
Yeah.
We sell all sorts of stuff like
that. Oh, nice. Nice. Knobs. That's a weird business.
Yeah.
Knobs.
The
And is it all off the internet or is there a retail location?
No retail. It's all through distribution.
Okay.
And occasional OEM stuff with like some of the bigger companies, but it's just a unique business. And, you know, at the time I worked in a completely different position and I was by myself and I used podcast to kind of fill my time because all I'm doing is working on a computer all day long. I'm separated from people. Like people actually had to journey out towards my office to come talk to me.
Yeah.
So I had to turn the radio down. I could listen to explicit content, you know, like funny podcasts and stuff that. But you have so much time to fill. And it got to a point where, you know, you start to listen to people and you'll see this quite a bit as you continue on the journey is people start to connect with you and like it's a very one-sided weird relationship because all of a sudden you've mentioned this before with tattooing where like,
I know exactly what you're saying that on a day-to-day basis, this is just every day for you, but you're a big part of their day.
Yeah.
So like in tattooing, the people say it all the time that, you know, they come to me and we're like best friends because I've tattooed them, but they don't realize that I've tattooed them. You know, I tattooed 5 other people that day and they were a small chunk of my day, but I was a large chunk of their tattoo time. And it means a lot to them. And I can see how podcasts become that because you sit and listen to these people for hours upon hours. You feel like you're in the room with them talking to them, even though it's a very one-sided conversation. I get what you're saying. Yeah.
It's a whole world you get sucked into. And like, it's funny because you get to know the inside jokes when you listen to it long-term.
Yeah.
You get to know the characters, the way they react to certain things. And it becomes like a point in which, you know, you like you said, you're sucked into it and, you know, you become a part of the daily, you know, like the feed of the show and you're checking their Twitter account to find out and see the picture that they were talking about on the show.
Yeah.
And it just become like interfeeding to itself.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. I've done that myself. I've got a couple of podcasts that I follow pretty hardcore and I forget that they're not my friends, you know, like they're not my friends in real life. I like to think they are. I joke about them being my friends. And then you meet him and you're like, oh, it's that guy.
So one of the shows that I listened to was the Adam Carolla Show.
Okay.
And a friend of mine kind of turned me on to it because years ago he used to do Loveline.
Yeah.
And everyone's familiar with Loveline, at least our age group.
Oh, yeah. Our age group is definitely familiar with that. We'd stay up and watch it and listen to it.
The other part is, so growing up with that, she said, hey, you should listen to this. He's very funny. Yeah, I thought he was funny back then. He has his own show or his own podcast now away from terrestrial radio. And I just started listening to it, enjoyed it. And the one thing that I really enjoyed was the fact that he did it 5 times a week. And, you know, that filled lots of time for me. But the kind of thing that stuck with me was the part where he talks about his life and the way he's done things. And he's never been an honor roll student.
Yeah.
Like he said, he was an academic probation for at a community college.
I feel that all too well. I feel that.
Yeah. Like, you know, in school, when I go back to when I was in school, I wasn't all that interested.
And no, I wasn't either.
I finished, I think I was like last in our class.
If I wasn't, I was really close. Like school was not my thing. I knew it. It just wasn't my thing. I graduated on time. But I definitely...
Well, that's one of us.
I was not there to do it. It's definitely a struggle.
Yeah. And, you know, I eventually graduated. But the thing is that he talks about that as well, where he's saying that he wasn't a great student, But then he had like this analytical mind, which I always thought, I'm like, I really kind of think things through. You know, I think I'm somewhat witty.
Yeah, I think you are. You're definitely witty. You're kind of technical. You know, I mean, you kind of think things through and break things down in a way that I wouldn't. You know, I have a very artsy background and artsy mind that I think creatively, and you think very analytically and kind of break things down and figure it out the correct way, where I'm going, maybe if I go way around, we'll figure this out, you know. It's different.
So with that, like he talked about how he wasn't a top student, but yet he could still, like, you know, tear things down analytically and think about things.
Okay.
And he would go on these programs, and just by, you know, like, he would argue with lawyers just because he's using common sense and they're not used to someone challenging their sense of thinking.
Okay.
But, like, overall, I mean, he's self-deprecating, and he's like, no one ever really said you're funny. No one ever really, you know, said that you should pursue this. And that's something that I kind of held on to, is like, growing up, I was taken out of classes. They're like, you're kind of being a smart aleck. Like, you need to calm it down. Like, I remember Miss Postulate from elementary school. She's like, stop being a class clown. Like, every chance that everyone got, they really shut it down of like, just shut up.
Yeah, they're trying to make you not you.
Exactly.
Just, yeah. Try to make you a better student, which never works.
Yeah, everyone learns and excels in different categories. And, you know, that's the part where he talked about, like, no one really said you should pursue this. And I felt kind of the same way. So we had like this kindred spirit type thing where I'm like, I kind of feel that same way about things.
Yeah. And to have that connection with somebody, like you said, you know, you have that outside connection of feeling like you're friends with them. And then you really have this connection of, like you said, like you're a kindred spirit. They have the same mentality. That's really neat to see. And you're the second person that I've interviewed on this show that has talked about being into Adam Carolla's show. And that's how they got into things, which is really neat.
Yeah. I mean, he's prolific. He's out there, and he's one of the top guys, whether you agree with him. I don't agree with everything he says.
Yeah. And you don't have to.
Yeah.
Does he still put out a daily show? I mean, does he still?
Yeah, he still puts out a daily show. And, you know, the part that I kind of connect with is where he, you know, he said no one's going to just give you things.
Okay.
And when he thought about it, he was thinking that, like, you know, the reason why he got started with radio to begin with was he was listening to a radio show and going, I can do this.
Yeah.
You know, I can do it better than this guy. And, you know, and he said, like, stop making excuses and go out and do something. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're sitting there listening, you know, you're just romancing about no matter what topic it is, you want to go out and be a long haul trucker.
Yeah.
Stop talking about it. Start doing it. Like, yeah, if you want to do whatever it is, you know, if you have an excuse ready, you're never going to accomplish that.
Absolutely. This is kind of a motto that I've always thought of. And it's not about maybe doing something like that, but it's always about, like, there are people that want to get better at something, and there are people that want to talk about getting better. And those are two totally different people.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk about it all day, but you have to actually go out and do it to get better, whatever it may be. You have to actually take that step and do whatever it is, whether it's scary or not, whether you're going to fall on your face or not, you need to just go for it. Just jump.
Exactly. And the other thing he talks about is doing things for free, and you'll be rewarded for it.
Yeah. And that kind of, I know that's kind of what led you here today and kind of is your story today, is how you became you and your present you, I guess I should say, and what made you is kind of putting that forward and giving yourself, putting yourself out there, allowing yourself to volunteer. I mean, that's kind of what's made you today and brought you here to talk to me. Let's get into that a little bit.
And that's kind of a crazy journey where, so he's saying, don't make excuses, go out and do the things you're going to do, and then do things for free and do things for people that can never repay you for what you've done. And I've kind of took that to heart and decided, like, okay, well, here's something I want. I'm very interested in podcasting. Like, I love the electronic side of it. I love the concept of it.
Yeah.
So let me learn more about it.
And that's what you just kind of jumped in. You bought some stuff and went for it.
I mean, first microphone was a $9 microphone I got at, you know, Best Buy.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was one of those specials where, you know, it was a Black Friday special, something like that.
Okay.
And you could only buy one. So I had to keep logging in with your fake names and just buy them over and over
again. So you just create a fake account, buy one, log out, create a fake account, buy another one.
Yeah. So, you know, I started slow with that. And then I'm like, okay, I want to know more about the equipment.
Yeah. What was your first evolution of the podcast? I mean, when you started doing that, was it the kind of the same idea you have now?
Yeah, it was the same exact concept of just, you know, friends get together and talk. And at the time it was just, hey guys, let's play with this equipment.
Yeah, and see what happens.
Let's have some beer, sit around and talk.
That's awesome.
And so as it evolved, I wanted to learn more about sound.
Okay.
And the way it took place and, you know, how to actually work with the control boards and that sort of thing. So I got online and looked, is there any theaters nearby? Is there any resource I can seek out that can actually provide me with some more information?
Oh, that's a great idea. That's a great way to do that.
So I came across a local theater, the Acorn Theater.
Okay. And where is that located?
Three Oaks.
Three Oaks, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
So it's a small theater. And at the time, I just saw the little thing on there, you know, volunteer. So I said, great. I'm gonna go to this place because there was no great functionality at the time on the website.
Okay. Well, I mean, it just said volunteer. You could have been volunteering to be a janitor.
Yeah anything.
You're like, I'm going. We're doing something.
I'm gonna stop talking about things and doing them.
That's awesome.
So, you know, it was one of those late nights where I'm looking through the pages. I watched an HGTV thing where they showed the making of the theater.
Okay.
It, you know, the two gentlemen that owned it, they went through and talked about how they restored it from the Featherbone factory to the theater that it is now.
Oh, nice.
So it was one of those cool things. I stayed up. I was all excited about it. I'm like, okay, tomorrow I'm going there.
It was on like the HGTV?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Holy hell. I know they did one on the Featherbone. There was like an apartment built in the Featherbone.
Yeah, that's right next to the theater.
Okay,
there.
I saw that episode. We watched it on TV and I was pretty floored because we were just flipping through. And I'm like, oh, let's look at this show. And then they're like, and then Three Oaks, Michigan.
Yeah, I love shows like that where they show like the buildings they used to be.
Yeah.
And then like the buildings they are now.
That's pretty cool, actually.
If I had it my way, we'd be living like in an old post office or some crazy place like that.
So we recently bought a house back in April and we looked at a bunch of homes. And there was definitely like, my wife was done. She did not want. I'm not a project guy. I like to think I'm a project guy. I never get shit done. At our old house, we bought a house, put up a fence. My goal was to put this gate up that we had to block the dogs from getting out. I leaned the gate up against the wall and it sat there for like 8 years before I attached the gate. All I had to do was attach it so it would swing. It just sat there. It blocked the dogs. But it was like 8 years before I actually got it attached. And my wife knows this. So like I have like, we'd see these houses. I'm like, oh, this house has got great potential. We could do this and this. She's like, you'll never do it. You're an idiot. Like, you'll never do it. You'll say you'll do it and we'll live in this cardboard box for 2 years before you get around to anything.
She's like, quit looking at it. It's never going to happen.
Yeah. So she ixnayed a lot of cool houses, like an old post office or anything like that. We did look at one that was like an old one room schoolhouse and needed some work. Would have been awesome. She's like, nope.
Yeah. That's great. You got a wife. They'll call you out.
Oh,
she's not afraid to call you out.
She didn't want to do any. When we bought the house, she's like, I don't want to paint. Like, she's like, we're moving in and that's it.
Dude, that's another pet peeve of mine. When people go, like, big fan of HGTV, watch those shows all the time, but I get so ticked off when you show the couple and they're walking through and they're like, this paint color is horrible. I'm like, you can go to freaking Home Depot. You can go to Lowe's. I mean, you spend a couple $100, paint's a different color. Yeah. Shut up about the paint.
Yeah, but it's paint.
Now I know why. This makes sense because people like you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm so bad about projects. I like to think that I can get stuff done and I like to feel that I'm handy. I'm not that I'm unhandy. I can do the things.
Yeah.
I have very little motivation when it comes to that stuff. I will start hard, but if it takes more than like 4 hours, I'm over it. Like, I'm done. I want to go ahead, drink a beer and sit on the porch. Like, I'm done.
Yeah.
That's been multiple times where we've done projects like that where it's like, if I can't get it done in the first chunk of the day, it's probably not going to happen.
Yep. There's been quite a few where they've dragged out.
Yeah.
there needed to be that conversation where my girlfriend Margaret was like, okay, before you start another project, you need to finish this one. It was a conversation because I was like, okay, ramping up to go do something new. And she's like, nope.
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 Stop touching things.
Nope.
Get things finished.
But back to the theater.
Yeah, like, back. Sorry, I get way off topic.
I love that, though.
Man, I do it all the time. That's my life. That's why I kind of started this, is my life is this. We talk about one thing. Before you know it, I'm talking about something completely different. And then we got to go, wait, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah. Now I remember. Back to the theater.
Yeah. So I show up the next day and I'm, you know, the doors are locked and it's during the normal hours, but they were shut down because of the winter.
Okay.
And it was just getting near springtime, and they happened to have a meeting that day, which I got really lucky. I showed up, and the executive director was there, and she was basically like, "Hi, how can I help you?" And I'm like, "How can I help you?"
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, I'm here because I want, like, to volunteer my time, anything I can do here. So from there, she's like, okay, this is different. Usually our volunteers are much older. They're usually retired or, like, you know, looking for something different. But to have someone as young as myself just kind of showing up and being, like, on the doorstep and going, all right, where can you use me? What can I do?
And how long ago was this?
It's like 4 years ago.
Okay. That's pretty neat. Just walked up and said, I want to help.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
It was like 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, this all coincides with the starting of the podcast and all that. So it's going, it's 5 years.
Nice. Oh, yeah. You're getting ready to celebrate. We're going to get off topic here again.
The 5 year anniversary.
The 5 year anniversary of your podcast, which is really cool. That's awesome.
I didn't think it would last more than a couple months, actually.
Yeah. But... Have you gone through a bunch of co-hosts?
Yeah. I mean, we've cycled through, and it was all based upon, you know, location.
Okay.
A lot of friends moved away in different areas and back and forth. And when I moved away, it made it hard, to try to do a phone version. That's why there's been times where the show's been a hiatus.
Okay.
Because it's hard to get someone to travel up as often to be able to carry on a normal podcast session.
Yeah.
And then when someone calls in, it's really hard to get it to sound decent. We did a show where, the current co-host called in, we talked, and it was fine, but it was a little hard to do because you can't, like, as we're sitting across from each other, you can see when I'm ending a conversation, someone can pick up, and
yeah.
Like, when you're on the phone, everyone's just talking over each other.
Yeah, you're going, wait now.
Yeah.
Oh, wait now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That all started about the same time you volunteered.
Mm-hmm.
What did you start, when you started volunteering there, what were you doing, and what did they have you doing?
Well, I basically just showed up and said, put me where you need me.
Okay.
So they said, okay, well, coming up here, we're getting the theater ready to open up for spring. So just come here and help, clean up outside, clean up all over the place, and helped with that.
Nice.
And then they're like, okay, well, we have a show coming up. Get here about an hour early. Got there an hour early. Helped people find their seats.
Oh, nice.
Helped, lay out the microphone cables and all that sort of stuff. And eventually I got to the point where I got comfortable with everyone there. And I'm like, okay, well, show me the board. Like, show me the actual board and what you do. Because they have a very large... I don't even know how many inputs they have, but it's probably like 30 plus.
What does the theater typically put on? Is it more musicals? Is it more, what do they do?
So it's a theater more in the sense of like a musical.
Okay.
So when it comes to like theater, opera, that sort of thing, it's very occasional. There are some shows.
Okay.
But it's more about like traveling bands, and they have national touring acts that come through there. They have,
oh, nice.
Things like that where... you have local artists, regional artists coming through there, and it's a great show, and it's one of those venues where it fits maybe like 250 max.
Okay.
So there's not a bad seat in the house.
Yeah, it's a small venue. That's nice.
But over time, and everyone's so nice to me that, it was the thing that I was kind of missing at the time.
Okay.
So I was going through life where I'm just kind of like, I'm there. I'm just moving along.
Yeah.
Nothing too inspirational going on. And then I meet this group of people who, the owner is giving me little bits and pieces about why he seats people in a certain grouping. Like, he would rope off some areas, and he's like, we got a funny show coming on, so let's talk about that, where, you want comedy, you want people to sit close to each other. You want the one guy hearing the other guy laugh next to you, and then talking about things like that, where I'm like, this is cool stuff that I would have never learned any other place.
Yeah, that's stuff you wouldn't think about either. If I was, I wouldn't think about that going in. You just seat people where you sat them, but that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah, it's like group them in, and then like the sound technicians there, like they're very nice. They're showing me the board. Here's how to mix people. Here's the monitors, and just explaining things to me, which I think really helped me out in the long run with my show, is like the technical side became actually a breeze to figure out after understanding and explaining, from the techs there.
Yeah.
And then, it just evolved to the point where I became kind of a staple for a short period of time when I was still living around the area.
Okay.
And every single show, I just would show up. It wasn't like I didn't check in. It was like, oh, yeah, Glenn will be here eventually.
Oh, that's awesome.
He's just going to pop in.
He's just a regular. You're here now.
he's a volunteer. And everyone was like, are you trying to meet girls? Are you trying to, like, they were trying to figure me out, thinking that I had an agenda other than, wanting to learn. Yeah. It was just kind of a weird, and like ultimately I did get some amazing things out of it. I did get a great girlfriend.
Oh, that's awesome. You met her through the theater.
Yeah. And but that wasn't the game plan going in. The game plan going in was just to expand my knowledge base and then provide some services to people that maybe I'm good at.
Okay.
That they couldn't afford. Like, yeah. It's like, I'll volunteer my time for these certain things.
Yeah. Just being a little more selfless.
Yeah. That's and awesome. Like from there, you know, it became one of those things where, you know, more doors opened up for me. The more time I spent there, the more valued I felt. And it wasn't someone like, oh, we can't, you know, do this without Klein. It was just kind of like that community feeling you have. And that's one thing that'll kind of like encourage you to grow and continue to grow with a place is, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
So it got to a point where the theater was kind of at a turning point.
Okay.
In, you know, a theater is a hard thing to run financially.
Yeah, because I can imagine there's probably not a lot of, there's probably a lot of turnover in there. There's mm-hmm. probably a lot of overhead.
Yeah.
And then I can't imagine there's a lot of income coming through there.
It's a risk. And, you know, at the time the owner was thinking about it, like, you know, there's times where you book this band and there's a giant storm and no one barely shows up and you have these like all these things that happen.
Yeah.
And eventually got to a point where like, okay, we need to figure out what's going on. And it was turning into a nonprofit. So they went for a for-profit to a nonprofit organization. And the executive director actually asked me to become part of one of the founding members of the board.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
So I went from just showing up because I wanted to learn more to being asked to provide valuable feedback and information to become part of a board.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really neat.
A community theater.
Yeah.
Like, and I think back, like my pathway to get there was so simple and basic from a podcast.
Yeah.
So someone saying, go do something. Don't talk about it. Go do something. Do something for people who are asking for nothing in return. Like, don't do it because you are expecting these big things to come your way. Do it because you want to do it.
Oh, that's.
And then eventually you'll be rewarded.
That's really powerful. And it's neat to see you're being rewarded for it.
Yeah. And, you know, they're several years now into the nonprofit organization. I'm not on the board anymore. I was one of the founding members, though. I'm okay. on the programming committee. And like I said, my girlfriend, I met through the theater.
Now, how'd you meet her? Let's do this. How'd you meet her through the theater?
Well, we worked together, and actually the first couple times we met, like, I'm not one of those guys who really, like, approaches women and is, like, tries to be smooth and talk to them. And, like, my girlfriend is too young for me and too attractive for me. She's way out of my league.
You're batting above your head.
Yeah. So when we first met, like, I was introduced, and she was doing, like, stuff at the theater and working and doing part-time things. And I just left her alone. Didn't talk to her barely, didn't really approach her, didn't, you know, occasionally those projects. And then eventually our paths crossed and we talked a little bit more. And, you know, eventually it got to the point where we started interacting a little more. And, you know, to me, I just kept thinking, she's really nice.
Yeah, it's a nice girl.
Yeah. And that's about it.
Yeah.
And then eventually she made it clear that she wanted something out of this.
Very nice.
So she approached me and was like, hey, would you ever maybe want to go on a date?
You're like, who are you talking to?
Me? For sure.
You know who you're talking to, yeah, right?
You know me, right? Like, you know enough about me. You still want to do this?
That's awesome. No, that's awesome.
And, you know, we started dating and we've been together ever since. Yeah. And, you know, we moved to Kalamazoo together.
Oh, really?
And then
that's a big jump.
Yeah, she finished out school. Like, she wanted to go back to school where she's. Okay.
And what is that? What took you guys up there?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're at a point in our relationship, and like I'm this is my girl. Like, whatever happens, we're doing this together.
Yeah.
And she made a decision that she wanted to, you know, go back to school and finish her degree.
Okay.
So I'm like, let's do this. Like, I want to support in any way possible. So if we're doing this, we're doing this. So we moved up together.
Oh man, that's cool.
And she finished out her degree in music, and now she's a piano teacher. She teaches piano out of her house.
Awesome.
And it was one of those things where, you know, everyone's like, oh, you know, you sacrifice so much and you're driving from Kalamazoo, because I was actually still working down in this area.
Oh, wow.
But we were living in Kalamazoo and I was commuting every day.
So 45 minutes each way, so 45 minutes an hour. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a little bit of a sacrifice.
But everyone's like, oh, this is so great. I'm like, I'm getting more out of this than anyone ever knows. Like, she's so supportive and so great about things that it's like, you know, there's nothing I can do to return that sort of thing. So it's like these little sacrifices of a small drive means nothing.
That's awesome. it's all about being selfless.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she seems really cool. I've only met her a few times, but last time when I came, you know, I came over to do your podcast, she was like, all right, boys, have fun.
Yeah.
You know? It's like,
she gets me.
That's awesome.
She gets me. She's supportive. Like my weird inside sick jokes that are like, she's like, Jesus, what? Like, and then she laughs about it later and we'll make a joke herself about it. Like, you know, it's nice to have a partner that understands you in that way.
Yeah. That's really cool. That is really neat. Give me just a second. I gotta stop drinking this beer.
That's why we generally, I'm like, dude, drink some whiskey. Everyone's like, oh yeah, yeah, whiskey.
There you go. Yeah, I don't, I just like to have a beer or something. I drank way too much last night. That's a big issue. he had the Notre Dame Michigan game, and I don't care about either team. So I was like, well, we're gonna hang out. And I brought a big pitcher of vodka and lemonade. And I drank way too much because I can walk home.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the dangerous part.
Yeah. That's the danger. As soon as we figured that out, we're like, oh, I can walk home. Oh, this is great. This is not good. And our kids just run around the yard all the time. So yeah. It's good.
Dude, that's awesome. Like you moved into a great, like got a buddy close by.
Yeah.
Your kids are friends with their kids. Yeah. And like you're living the dream.
Funny story about that. Last night. We had the little cookout here at Bob's. We were just tossing the bottles. We had a bag for the bottles. We were tossing the bottles, and his oldest son asked if he could take the bottles back the next day, today.
Yeah.
And Bob's like, yeah, whatever, sure. So he goes, well, how am I going to get him down there? And my wife says, we can come get our baby stroller. Didn't think much of it.
Yeah.
9 a.m. this morning, he shows up at the door. He's like, can I borrow your baby stroller? And sure enough, he wheeled the beer bottles to the store in a baby stroller. I can only imagine what the people at the store thought, like at Harding's, a 12-year-old kid wheeling in a baby stroller full of beer bottles at 9 a.m.
Oh, it was good.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I'm going to leave a bunch of this in, too. So we were talking about, this is the fun part, is as I get way off topic and then we talk and I'm like, all right, don't worry. We'll cut this part out. And then we get talking and then I can't remember what we were talking about. So you kind of really push forward with kind of putting yourself out there and it helped you build your podcast because obviously you learned a lot of the sound engineering through there. I mean, did they kind of step up and really show you a bunch of the sound engineering or did you just kind of...
It was one of those things where, like, I like being a fly in the wall and then just asking little questions along the way.
Yeah.
Like, well, what does that do? Why'd you do that? And, like, they just do a quick explanation, and it's not like they feel like they have to do a tutorial or anything. It's just like, well, it does this and it does that. And, like, cool. And I'm just fly in the wall again. Because, I don't want to be a hindrance to anyone's, like, their job or what they're doing or be distracting to, like, what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
So the most like I can do is just try to be a sponge and absorb, you know, along the way. And like that's my advice to anyone is just like be a sponge about everything and anything that you can.
Yeah.
Like you don't know when it's going to be valuable to other people.
Yeah, that's one thing I learned later in life that I wish I'd learned earlier is to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
I think for a long time, I don't know if I was embarrassed or whatever, you know, I guess I don't want to say embarrassed. I didn't want to feel like stupid, you know.
I get that.
So you just pretend. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, I knew that. Where I think the older I've gotten, the more I'm apt to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless, sometimes they're super ignorant questions, but I'll straight up tell you, I'm like, I'm really ignorant to this topic. What the hell did that mean?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Talking to a buddy the other day about cars, and he got into it, and I'm like, dude, I can put the key in the car and turn it on. You know, like. Everything you just told me went way over my head. Let's explain this to me slower.
Yeah, to go off on a little like crazy putting myself out there. So the job that I'm in now, I travel around. I actually do sales.
Okay.
And sell the products I was just talking about. And I had a trip out to California. And I had a chance to be like a crazy fanboy stalker.
Oh, boy.
So I actually showed up to Corolla Studios.
Did you really?
With catalog in hand, I had backstory because I mean I was out there actually, and like I did the research.
Yeah,
maybe Bob might be a little proud of that. I did some research on it and found the address of the location and did some homework and researched that and found out where the studio was. And one of the days, I finished one of my sales calls. I had a nice meeting with a guy, and I'm like looking at the map. I'm like 2 blocks away from the studio.
Oh,
there is not a chance in hell I am not going to go to this studio.
Like, it's about to get creepy.
Yeah. So I, you know, drove a couple, you know, blocks down the way, rolled in the studio. I'm like, I can't believe I'm doing this. This is dumb.
Yeah.
Parked. I'm like, well, here's my backstory. Grab my catalog, because Adam's like super into race cars and that sort of stuff. And
okay.
Some of our product actually can go on to race type vehicles. Like there's knobs and levers and that sort of stuff.
Nice.
So I'm like, it could go his way, you know? So I'm like, you know, catalog in hand, my little card, just walked up to the door. Okay. It was slightly ajar. Walked right into the studios.
Nice.
And then was met by one of the producers there.
Okay.
And he's like, how can I help you? I'm like, oh, hey.
Oh.
So I was in the area and I emailed you last week, in which I did email him.
Okay.
Prior to, I was like, if there's a chance of me doing it, I'm going to try to make some headway.
And yeah.
He's like, oh, okay. It's like, I have a catalog for Adam. He might be interested in, but mostly this is an excuse to check this studio out.
Oh, that's awesome. You just flat out told him.
Like, I was like, he might like this stuff. He might not. It's more towards his race cars. So if you don't give it to Adam, give it to his guys who work on his cars.
Yeah.
Our product could probably go on some of that stuff. And now, if you wouldn't mind, he's like, oh, I'll give you a studio tour.
Oh, that's so cool. You just stopped in and they're like, all right, let's do this.
Yeah. So I took pictures. I'm like, is it cool to take pictures? He's like, yeah, go for it. Dylan, show him around. So,
oh, that's cool.
One of the guys took me from place to place. So I got to see like where they actually sit. They're like their engineering studio, like, the little lounge area, which had like the man show stuff over the wall.
Oh,
and I'm like,
cool.
Just fanboying, taking pictures, doing crazy stuff. And it's just like, okay, that would have never happened. I was just like being ballsy and throwing myself out there.
Yeah.
Like worst case scenario, they looked at me and said, get out of here.
Yeah. What's the worst that could happen?
Release the German Shepherds on me. But, now, you know, got to see a cool place.
That is cool. Now, I think I've heard the story about you meeting Adam Carolla and not getting a picture with him, or getting a really shitty picture with him.
Yeah. So, you know, a friend and co-host, yeah, we kind of co-workers on the show. We're big fans, and we went to a show in Detroit.
Okay.
And there's a handful of us that went out there, and he's like, I got this. I got my camera loaded. We're all good to go. I'm like, well, do you want to take a practice picture to make sure like everything's in focus? And he's like, nah, I got this. Don't worry about it.
I got it.
And somehow I got pushed up to take the picture first.
Yeah.
And he takes the picture, goes about his business. And then he's like, well, you know, someone takes his picture and we're going through the little roll.
Yeah.
And his picture turned out perfectly fine. But my picture turns out like my face is just dark because I had a brim on. The lighting was weird. So my face is like just completely darked out.
Yeah.
And they're like, Adam, staring at the camera, me like doing the smile, but yeah, can't see my face. You can't see anything. I'm like, really?
Oh,
come on,
man. You're like, this is me. I promise this is me in this photo. I met him.
Yeah.
Maybe. You can't prove it. I'm so paranoid about that. Like, we met. I'm a big fan of Bert Kreischer.
Mm-hmm.
And we met him back in Chicago back in October. Uh-huh. And I was like, please get a good photo. Please get a good photo. He's awesome. That was fun.
Yeah. He's funny.
Yeah, he sure is. He's really funny. And then the stuff he's been doing lately, you know, he's doing marathons, and he just did a triathlon.
Jesus.
Men's Fitness is actually doing a documentary about him. I'm not kidding. They filmed his whole training regimen or lack of training regimen for the...
eating pizza and burgers.
Yeah,
and
triathlon. He keeps calling it the Mickey Mantle gene, that he doesn't need to train. And he just barely trains. That's what he did for that marathon. He didn't hardly train. He walked on a treadmill like 4 miles a day, walked on a treadmill 4 miles a day for like a month leading up to a marathon, and then ran a marathon and finished it.
That gives me hope.
That's crazy. It's crazy. That goes back to just doing it. Like, just go out there and do it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Well, Glenn, let's start wrapping things up here.
All right. Sounds good.
If you had one thing to tell anybody about what they should do with their life or how to move forward, what would it be?
Stop talking, start doing.
That's awesome. That is perfect. If anybody wants to reach out to you or hear your podcast,
yeah,
what's the best way to get a hold of it?
So despite majority of this interview, it is a comedy podcast, even though we're getting super serious. I love that, to be able to like get serious into some stuff.
Yeah.
And then crack some jokes here and there. Where my show is like more Yeah, we try to be a little more jokey and less...
You know, when I had this concept, I didn't know where it was going to go.
Yeah.
You know, I had the concept. I had it laid out. I knew how I wanted to go. I kind of feel like I'm a funnier person. I like to joke.
Yeah, you are funny.
But I didn't really know where it would go. Uh-huh. And then the more I do this, the more it's like, oh, these are powerful stories. Like, these are really powerful stories, and I enjoy hearing them. And some of it's not quite as funny. I don't want to say it's not as funny, because it has been funny. But mm-hmm. it's like, oh, I thought we'd make fun of this a little more. Like, and I'm too moved right now to like want to make fun of it.
Oh, another thing before you wrap up. Another thing I encourage you to do because of, you know, Corolla, the podcasting, volunteering in theater. I got on stage and did stand-up.
Awesome. I would love to do stand-up.
Yeah. It was terrifying. First time I did awesome.
Yeah.
Second time I bombed.
The first time you do things, I find this out a lot, is you don't realize you're not supposed to be good at it. So you just get up there and you actually do well because you don't realize that it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, and then after you realize it's hard, that's when it goes downhill.
Yeah. I did an open mic and people are like, oh my God, you're funny. I'm like, yeah, just because I don't make jokes around you guys, like at the theater here, doesn't mean I'm, you know.
That's funny.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, this is awesome. Like, all geared up and did a second. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to do, and here's my biggest thing. I was like, I'm going to do like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Who freaking does 10? That's way too long. That's
hard. Especially when you're starting.
Yeah. Way too planned out. And like the first time I could fill the, like, it was about 5 to 7 minutes I could fill up. And then the second time around, I'm like, oh boy.
Uh-oh. This is not good.
This is a wreck.
And thank you.
So Glenn, off stage.
Glenn, how do we get to your podcast?
Okay. So the podcast is Stupidity On Demand, stupidityondemand.com. Also, join the Facebook group, facebook.com/stupidityondemand, because we'll post pictures from the show and we talk about conversations.
Yeah.
And generally, I'll also post like memes and like just oddball stuff or funny things that I think is kind of funny and like hopefully brighten up your feed a little bit on Facebook.
It is. It's good stuff. It always cracks me up because it's some of the silliest shit. Like, you bought the egg thing the other day. That was super funny.
Yeah. The egglet, man. That thing is golden.
Oh, man.
But as well, social media, Instagram, Stupidity On Demand, Twitter, don't really use it as much as I should. That's Stupid Demand or Stupidity Demand.
Okay. Yeah, they have the weird truncated.
Yeah, the limited space. Yeah, well, Zach, I appreciate having me on, and hopefully I can come on again and I'll tell a completely different story about something.
I would love to have you again.
Completely different.
I'd absolutely love to have you again.
Thanks, Zach.
Glenn, thank you for being here, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah.
Got a lot of good feedback so far.
Yeah.
And I've had several people like, you kind of cussed a lot.
Well, you get nervous, like in the beginning, you get nervous about it, and you're like, you're so used, like you said, you're used to have a conversation in, you know, the parlor where you can just say fuck left and right.
Yeah.
And you forget about that and you're like, oh crap. And like, to me, whatever. I mean, you're getting a true version of the person. And
I told that to somebody today. Somebody was kind of talking to me about it, and I said, that's me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to put me out there.